NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. President Obama is praising the fact that lawmakers appear to be moving towards approval of a small business jobs bill. However, the president blasted those he says are standing in the way of his plan to extend tax cuts for middle-income households. Speaking at the White House today, Mr. Obama said the country simply cannot afford to extend cuts for the wealthiest American households, individuals earning more than $200,000 a year and households with incomes above $250,000 annually.
$700 billion to give a tax cut worth an average of $100,000 to millionaires and billionaires. And it's a tax cut economists say would do little to add momentum to our economy. Now, I just don't believe this makes any sense.
It's estimated that allowing all the Bush-era tax cuts to continue would cost the government roughly $3.6 trillion over 10 years. World Trade Organization has ruled that Boeing Company received illegal government subsidies, but as NPR's David Shaper reports, U.S. and European sources differ over the impact of the ruling.
U.S. sources familiar with the case confirm that the WTO has issued a preliminary and confidential ruling that some government research and development grants, tax breaks, and infrastructure support provided to Boeing in recent years violate international trade laws. European trade officials are claiming victory, but the U.S. sources claim the amount of support for Boeing ruled to be illegal is far less than the European Union subsidies given to Airbus that the WTO ruled to be illegal back in June. Chicago-based Boeing and its European rival Airbus have been battling for years over subsidies that both claim help the other gain an unfair competitive advantage in the worldwide commercial airplane market, and there's a lot at stake. It's a market estimated to be worth $3 trillion over the next couple of decades. David Shaper, NPR News, Chicago.
The Obama administration says oil and gas companies must plug thousands of old wells and dismantle unused production platforms in the Gulf of Mexico. NPR's Jeff Brady says the new rules had been expected even before BP's disaster, Black Horizon disaster.
The industry calls the thousands of unused wells, platforms, and pipelines idle iron, equipment that once was used to produce oil and gas but now just sits there. Companies have been reluctant to dismantle some of the equipment because it might be used again someday. But federal regulators worry the equipment could become damaged, especially during storms. The new rules say that if a well has been inactive for 5 years, it must be permanently plugged, and production platforms that aren't being used have to be dismantled in a timely manner. The rules affect nearly 3,500 wells and 650 platforms. A spokeswoman for the American Petroleum Institute says the new rules were expected, and for most companies, complying with them won't be an issue. Jeff Brady, NPR News.
Stocks move higher today, though remaining within a fairly narrow trading range, as the government announced the nation's mines, factories, and utilities were a bit busier last month. The Dow Jones Industrial Average climbed 46 points. The NASDAQ was up 11 points today. You're listening to NPR News. A federal appeals court announced today it has rejected an Indian tribe's challenge to a bridge project intended to restore the health of the Everglades in South Florida. Three-judge panel of the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals ruling the federal courts do not have jurisdiction over the tribe's claims. The tribe had claimed the project west of Miami violated environmental laws and would cause flooding of nearby lands. The mile-long bridge is intended to improve water flow in the Everglades. Known for his sardonic wit, longtime newsman Edwin Newman has died. Newman was a steady presence on NBC for more than three decades, beginning in the 1950s. He was 91. NPR's Elizabeth Blair has more.
Edwin Newman did it all. He reported the news, analyzed it, and gave his opinion about it. He interviewed heads of state, athletes, and artists. Newman was the first to report President John F. Kennedy's assassination on NBC Radio. The next day, he delivered a personal commentary on NBC TV.
One's first feeling, of course, was that it was a dream, not real. After that came the dispiriting, hopeless feeling that it was banal, an absurdity. And that is the feeling that persists.
Edwin Newman wrote best-selling books on language and how it's abused on a daily basis. But he also wrote that a world without mistakes would unquestionably be less fun. Edwin Newman died of pneumonia in Oxford, England. Elizabeth Blair, NPR News, Washington.
In an effort to capture more of the international freight business, giant UPS, already known for its brown trucks and large fleet of planes, now says it will begin offering ocean freight service. The Atlanta-based package shipper says the new service is already available between the U.S. and Japan, with plans to expand it to other parts of Asia over the next 6 months. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News, in Washington.